If you would turn with me in your Bibles this evening back to 1 John and chapter number 2, the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter number 2. It has been several weeks now since we studied our brother's words. We had a prayer service. Brother Gordon preached for us last Wednesday night. But our last gathering together, John was inspired to write to the saints to warn them not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world would pass away, but he that doeth the will of God would abide forever. This evening, as we press forward, we'll try to tackle 4 or 5 verses out of this second chapter dealing with the Antichrist and the last days, or the spirit of Antichrist and the last days. In 1 John 2, verse 18. 1 John 2, 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Amen. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And we'll stop with our reading right there this evening. The Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist and the last days. There's a warning offered here in the text that we have read, for each and every one not to be carried away by false Christ or by false prophets. Obviously, there were some in John's day who had been carried away. Very particularly, and we won't get into it quite yet, but verse 19 tells us there were some that went out from us. They weren't of us. If they would have remained with us. But obviously there were some that had been carried away. There's a number of different ways in which to look at that. But John offers a warning, and he begins it by saying, little children. There's that term of endearment that John so frequently uses in verse number 18. Little children, let me warn you, because oftentimes little children can be easily misled. And he offers this warning to the readers of this letter. It is the last time. Realize the hour in which we live. Think about it. This is the last days. This is the last time. And during this time period, during this era of the last days, Christ told us that in the last days, perilous times would come, and there would arise false teachers, false prophets, and that they will lure away many. That this was going to happen. And brothers and sisters, that's the day in which you and I are living in. This is the last days. In this world in which we live, there are many false Christs. There are many anti-Christ out in this world today. Now, I don't want to get into this altogether just yet, but there is the Antichrist that will come. But there is a spirit, and we'll get into that in a little bit more in a minute, but there is a spirit of Antichrist that exists alive and well right now in our nation and in this world. There were some, John said, that went out of us, or went out from us. So in other words, we come back to this, John is telling us yet again, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you know that you know him. Don't be misled by some Antichrist. Don't be misled by some false Christ, some false prophet. Be sure that you know him. Because false believers will be led away by false prophets to worship a false Christ. But we shouldn't be that way. We should be true believers who listens to the words of true men of God who bring men or point men to the true Messiah, the true Christ. And do not, do little children, this is the last time, and you've heard, John said, look, verse 18, you've heard that in this last time that Antichrist shall come. And he says, and even now there are many of them running to and fro. Now let it be understood that according to my understanding of the book of Revelation, there is a coming Antichrist, a ruler, which I believe, and I don't want to get too far away from this because we'll divorce our text, and I don't want to do that. But there is coming an Antichrist that will set up a world religion, a world power, and he will be received even by Israel, national Israel, will be received as the Christ, but he's not the Christ, he is the Antichrist. And it is my position that in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel's trouble, or Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, in the middle of the tribulation, after entering into a covenant with Israel, that Antichrist will break that covenant. He'll set up the abomination that make it desolate. In other words, he'll set himself up to be worshipped. Now, all of that being said, there is coming an Antichrist, the Antichrist. And he may well be alive on earth right now. I hope that people would stop and consider. We have seen men who have risen to worldwide power or dominance overnight, seemingly. And I'm not, and don't say this because I'm not saying this because I don't believe it's true, but 8 years ago, no one, I mean hardly anybody knew who Barack Hussein Obama was. Now he's the leader of the free world. And it just goes to show you that just like that, somebody can come from obscurity to world dominance or world power. Amen. And I'm not saying he is, and don't go out of here saying, because I don't believe that it is. Now I know that makes everybody feel good. I could get some Baptist hallelujahs if I said that, but I'm not going to say it, okay? But there is coming an Antichrist, and he may well be alive right now here on earth and may be seated in the position where he is not far from being in that place of dominance and leadership. As you know, we grumble and gripe about the way things are, and maybe rightly so to some extent, but God has the pieces of the puzzle where he wants them, and he'll move them around his divine chessboard in his order when it pleases him to set people where he would have them for that upcoming time. And so it may well be that the Antichrist, is alive and well on earth right now, but he's nothing. He's not in power like he will be in power. I promise you that. He is not. The word anti means against or opposed to. There is coming an Antichrist who Israel will see him, and because of all of these great promises that he makes and the great things that he does, they will receive him as their Messiah for a measure of time until he reveals his true nature of what he is, and by then it's too late. He has them sucked in, and he will be against the Christ, opposed to the Christ. And while it's true that there is coming the Antichrist, what John is saying to us is right now you need to realize that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. John says, and there is even now, look at verse 18, even now in the center of this, even now are there many antichrist against Christ. Not thee, but little antichrist, those that are against Christ, who oppose Christ. There is a spirit of antichrist that exists. And if it was true 2,000 years ago when John wrote this, give or take a few years, if it was true then, it is certainly true today. And I believe that we live in the last days, and that biblically speaking, it's been the last days since Christ ascended up into heaven, Pentecost, however you want to divide it. We've been living in the last days since then, and it'll continue to be the last days. A lot of times when we talk about the last days, we're so bound by time in our mind, we start thinking about a short measure of time, but we need to remind ourselves that God's not on a calendar like you and I, or one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. God's not bound by time like you and I are. We live in the last days, and I believe this is perilous times, and there is a spirit of Antichrist that exists. And John says it was alive then, and I know that it's alive now. A spirit of against the Christ, opposed to the Christ. We've been living in the last days, technically, in my understanding of biblical terminology, since the resurrection of Christ, or since the time of Christ's ascension. I'm not going to split hairs over any of that. But I will say this, that I'm looking for the Christ to come, our Christ to come. And until he comes, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ.
Amen.
And I believe in an imminent return. My eyes, you know, we a lot of times, and people do this. People, one of the most prominent questions that people ask, want to talk to a preacher about, so I want to talk to them about prophecy. And that's okay. It's okay to talk about prophecy, and people want to ask all these questions. Could this person be the Antichrist? You know, and all that's well and good, but the main thing is, do you know Christ? You know, that's the first thing. There are some things that we just need to get a hold of. It's not for us to know the times or the seasons, the things that God has in his hands. It is for us to go and preach the gospel to every creature and tell them about the coming Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's found in him, rather than doing a whole lot of long and debate about who may or may not be the Antichrist. I'm not looking for him. We may see him in our lifetime and not know that it is him. I mean, that's a real possibility. If you'll put two and two together, if we believe in an imminent return, that Christ could come at any time, then we must also believe, due to that, we must also believe that the Antichrist may be alive and here on earth right now. It may be here. So we have John telling us that there is a spirit, that there is a spirit of Antichrist that exists in this world today. Notice for me, I don't know in America that has ever been as apparent as it is now that there is a spirit of Antichrist out there in America as like it is now. Never before has this nation seen a time when people were so anti-God and anti-Christ. Now allow me, let me try to make a little bit of a distinction between you. Generally speaking, and I'm speaking in some generalities. Generally speaking, people of the world don't mind it terribly bad if someone makes reference to a God, or gives some generic God credit for doing well at a certain thing, as long as it's not the God of the Bible. They don't mind somebody throwing out, well, I want to thank God that I did this well. That folks don't, not everyone, there's some that do, and I'll get into that, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. There's some that despise that at all, but generally speaking, at least in America, there's some who don't mind a little bit of religion. They don't mind a little God. As long as you don't try to force him on anybody else, folks don't mind that too bad. But when you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the spirit of Antichrist shows its ugly head. When you start talking about the God of the Bible, when you start talking about Jehovah God, the I Am God, the omnipotent God, the sovereign God, that's when feathers get ruffled. And I'm telling you, there is a strong Antichrist spirit alive and well in America today. It is amazing to me, and I believe it is to you as well. We know it's the last time, John. We know we're living in the last days because of this. And if that's how he felt then, how should we consider it now? You understand? The name of Jesus can be blasphemed. It can be used as a swear word. It can be abused. It can be mocked. TV producers will thrust the name of our Christ in the mud, but they won't let you get up and speak anything positive about the name of Jesus. You can think what you will. And there's a lot of debate, and I'm not interested in entering into it. You can think what you will about this Duck Dynasty crowd, whether you like them, love them, embrace them, or whatever you do. You can think what you will about them, but I will say this in their behalf. At least they try to get the name of Jesus of Nazareth in the public eye. If you don't know this, they close almost every one of their weekly programs with a word of prayer. And if you don't know this, he, that is the father, the patriarch of the show, almost always closes that prayer with the name of Jesus. And do you realize that for the first several tapings of the show, they would edit out the name of Jesus because they did not want his name mentioned? And finally, Phil Robertson, who is the old man of it, he went to the TV producers and said, you know, our calendar is named in the year of our Lord, and you keep cutting his name out of every prayer that I offer. How about every once in a while you stop cutting the name of Jesus out?
Amen.
You see, that's just evidence. Now, if he'd have been blaspheming the name of Jesus, they'd have left that alone. If he'd been cursing the name of Jesus, they wouldn't have edited that. But let him say something good or positive or pray, calling upon the name of Jesus. Don't tell me there's not a spirit of Antichrist that exists. There is. In Fort Lauderdale just recently, a 12-year-old boy was made a public mockery of and was ridiculed for reading his Bible in school. His teacher forbid him from reading his Bible. Listen to me, during free reading time. She had already told him, he had brought his Bible before, and she had already told this young man, don't bring that book back in my classroom. I mean, because that Bible's dangerous, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a dangerous book right here?
Amen.
You know, it can change lives and make saints out of sinners. It can bring happiness and joy out of death and emptiness. That's dangerous to some people, and they don't like it. And this particular teacher, she told this young boy not to bring it back, and he went and talked to his father and mother about it, talked to his parents about it, and they said, you have the right. And they looked it up and did the study, said, you have the right to read your Bible. And so he brought it out and read it and was reading it, and she called him out in class for it, embarrassed him in front of his students, his peers, and called home. And said, your child is not allowed to do this. And now it's a battle going on between them.
Amen.
You realize he could have been sitting there reading some sex-laden vampire and werewolf book. And they've not been the first thing been seen.
That's right.
He could have probably been sitting there reading the Koran and not the first thing would have been
Absolutely.
Seen. But you bring out God's word. That's when that spirit of Antichrist rears its ugly head in the forked teeth of some woman who does not care for the things of God and has no reverence for the people of God nor the Word of God, would try to deny that boy the right to do what even he has by the very written rules of their school system the right to do.
Amen.
That is the spirit of Antichrist. Those of you who are older can look at America now, look what America was 50 years ago, and you can put your finger on 50 things that say there is a spirit of Antichrist that exists. It's not, you know how much trouble a man could get in for saying this kind of thing? It's not a spirit of anti-Muhammad in our nation. You understand what I just said? It's not an anti-Islam. It is an Antichrist, an anti-God spirit that exists. And it's real. And it stems from he who will ultimately empower and get behind the Antichrist, Satan himself, who despises the name of Jesus, who despises all things holy. And he works through fallen men to stir strife. And John says, now get back to John. John says, don't be carried away. Realize we live in the last times, and in the last times, there is a spirit of Antichrist that exists, and don't be carried away with it. And the truth about it is, folks, is it is far, far more infiltrated us and our mind and our way of thinking than any of us would ever want to take knowledge of or admit to. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. This spirit of Antichrist, anti means against. There are a lot of people who would name the name of Christ and would say that they are indeed Christians, but hold to Antichrist theology. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. to teach in any way that there are many pathways to heaven or to God is antichrist theology.
Amen.
Anything that opposes Christ. I'm talking about the Joel Osteen, and I'm sorry if that bothers you, but every once in a while I'm going to say it like it is. I'm talking about the Joel Osteen Oprah theology of you get there your way and I'll get there my way, and as long as we get there, that's all that matters. That is antichrist.
Amen.
When called upon in a public venue to take a stand for a one-way salvation, Joel Osteen buckled and said, well, all I can say is for me, Jesus is the way. Now, I can't put that off on everybody else, but as for me, in a public venue, and I know, and here, you know, I mentioned this right before I first started pastoring here, Oprah and her theology of there's many pathways to heaven, choose your own. I'm sorry. That is antichrist doctrine. It is antichrist teaching. That doesn't mean these people can't do many good things. I'm not saying. And I'm not judging their soul, but I am telling you that is antichrist. And there's a lot of Christians today that eat that stuff up.
Yeah.
They call themselves believers, and maybe they are, but they don't like that narrow, restrictive, one-way salvation. They don't like that Jesus is the only way. And if you stand and you preach that, then we are called narrow,
right,
hard, cruel, and intolerant. When all the while we're preaching the book. But people that don't like that, they don't like it because they have allowed that spirit of antichrist within their heart and in their mind. That's real popular preaching. You know, this intolerance movement that has pushed its way and its agenda upon us today is sickening. I don't want to get too sideways with this, but I just don't understand. I do, but I don't. For us to stand up and say there are certain lifestyles that is sin, that is wrong. For us to stand up and say that Christ only is the way to heaven is considered by many to be an intolerant attitude. And do you realize that we are being pressed upon, and it is being pushed into the minds of our children, that we have to tolerate everything and everyone? What is amazing to me, and what the glaring inconsistency of it is that we are told we have to tolerate them, but they don't have to tolerate us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it is the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
This teaching, the idea that you have to accept me, but I don't have to accept you. You know, all that is the blindness that is brought upon men by the God of this world and the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
This intolerant, and I like consistency in practice, consistency in doctrine, consistency in life. I like, and especially somebody says, now you have to accept me for who I am. Why don't you have to accept me then?
Amen.
Why do I have to take you, but you don't have to take me? And you see, we as Christians have all stood by idle and done nothing about this while this spirit runs rampant in our nation. We ought to stand up with one voice and say, we are not cold, callous, mean, or cruel, but in love, there are certain things God's Word says is sin. There are certain things God's Word says about lifestyles and the way people conduct themselves, and there are certain truths in this Bible, such as Jesus. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, period. And I think it's high time we as God's children quit bowing to an antichrist spirit and start standing up together.
Amen.
And saying, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
For some people, that's too much truth, what I just said right there. And you know why? Because they've allowed antichrist theology in their heart and in their mind.
True.
All right, I ain't getting far, and I got to get here. Verse number 19. They went out from us. Who is they? They went out from us. Who are these people, the they, that John is talking about? He's talking about the people that love the world, the people that are conformed to the image of the world, those who are succumb or have been overrun by the spirit of Antichrist. They went out from us. He says, they were not of us. There are true believers, there are unbelievers, and there are make-believers. And John says some of these people that left out of here were make-believers. Unbelievers and or make-believers. They went out from us. Now let me try to clarify something with you in verse number 19, because I have been guilty in the past of trying to take this text and make it applicable to something that the context won't allow it to. I have looked at verse 19 and I said, and I have thought and said, you know, there were those who, and this is true. Follow me if you will. There are those who come into our assemblies, and for a little while they hang around, but then many of them leave. Some of them leave because we are too strict, too narrow, too strong, too whatever you want to call it. And I have been wanting to say, well, they left because they were not of us. They didn't hold the same doctrine we did. They didn't hold the same theology we did. And that's true.
Amen.
And there are some that leave us simply because, you know, they don't like the, you know, some of the things we stand for, some of the things we teach. And, you know, they were not all of us. And so they left. And that's true, but that's really not what John is talking about. John's not really talking about people that leave the church. He's talking about people that leave the faith. If you'll follow the context of it, it's true. Now, it's true that some people depart from us that were never truly of us. Either they came in for a little while and they thought that they were going to find a home here, but then they didn't like this or that. And, I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about churches down through the years. And then there are some who come in and are just simply not saved. And one of the reasons why they don't tarry is they're just not saved. You know, and I think that's part of what John is challenging us to. They went out from us just because they were never really part of us. Not that they just got up and left church. You know, we get too narrow in this thinking sometimes. What John is talking about, not they got up and left church, they got up and left the faith.
Amen.
They departed from us, from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they departed from. This is not, John, I don't believe he's talking about immature believers. Really not talking about untaught Christians. But he's talking about those who depart from the truth as it is in Jesus. Those who are succumb or will succumb to the spirit of Antichrist. Those who, in the Bible terminology is those who apostatize. Those who depart from the gospel of Christ. Who leave the true faith. They were never truly of us. Verse 19, so wonderfully written. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they left. And they left that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Amen.
It is indeed possible that there are those who are on the church roll of Memorial Heights Baptist Church that are just not of us.
Amen.
Just not saved. They may be carried away because of the love of the world. They may be carried away because the spirit of Antichrist has blinded them. They may be carried away. I don't know. And I'm not pointing any fingers, but I told you as I began this study, God burdened my heart to issue out a strong caution and call to everyone under the sound of this doctrine, of this teaching, of this book, and the doctrine that John has here. You better make sure that you know it.
Amen.
Are you of us? Are you sure that you are of us? And I'm not talking about just Memorial Heights membership. I'm talking about, are you of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Christ alone saves? We're saved by Christ alone, through grace alone, and by faith or in faith alone. That's it. Are you of us? And time makes it evident that there are some who are just not of us. They're just not of us. Just because someone leaves the church doesn't mean they've left the faith. You understand that? People can leave the church and not necessarily leave the faith. And I mean the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no right to jump to conclusions about them. But I will say that there are some that leave because they were never truly of us. They just never were. They just never truly of us. I think there's some that just leave just because they're just not saved. They're just not saved. They're just lost. And I'm not pointing any fingers again, but there are some who are just carried away. John is addressing those who leave the faith, who love the world, who do not have a heavenly calling, who do not have an unction from the Holy One. Some depart to make it evident that they were never truly believers. Verse 19 talks about they, and verse 20 says, but ye. Here's what they do, and here's what ye do. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. We are not of they that go away, or they that go out from us, but we have an unction from the Holy One. And don't make anything more than this and what it needs to be, but it is beautiful. It is really quite pretty. If you're interested in this word unction is the same word that down in verse 27 says, but the anointing, it's the same exact Greek word that is used there. The anointing or this unction is the exact same word. And all that means is that you've been saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have a calling, an unction, an anointing of the Holy Spirit. That language is only used in the New Testament in a symbolic way. In the Old Testament, it was used in a literal sense. The priest of God, the kings would be anointed with oil, and that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. In the New Testament, Christ is our prophet, priest, and king. And if you'll allow this, in typology, he was anointed by the Spirit after his baptism, when the Spirit of God descended on him as a dove out of the heavens following his baptism to John. But that's a type. It's in a symbolic language. In a symbolic way, we've never been anointed with oil, but we have an unction from the Holy One. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. We are not those that get carried away because they're unbelievers or make-believers. We have an unction. We have the life of God dwelling within us in the person of His Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, that Holy Spirit comes in and takes abode with every believer and stays in them and works within them, and He transforms our lives and sanctifies us and molds us into the image of Christ. That is that unction that we have. And it says that we know all things. Well, I don't know about you, but if you want to take that too far, I can tell you, I don't know all things. I don't know everything, but I know what He's talking about. And He's talking about the difference between saving faith and an empty faith. And I know the difference in that. He's not talking about knowing all things, not having some supernatural knowledge of everything, every math, every science, He's not talking about. He's talking about knowing the things of the Word of God. True. Having that Spirit of God that knows all things, that will lead you into all manner of truth. Having Him dwelling within us. This language tells us we're not of they that go out because we have an anointing. Why do we remain? Why do we stay when some leave? Is it glory due to us? Or is it because we have an unction from the Holy One? You understand that all... that no flesh should glory in His presence. We remain, we abide, and He'll get into that a little bit later, because of God's faithfulness and not because of our own. Because we have an unction from the Holy One. And I'm particularly fond of verse 21. Essentially, John, he says to him, I didn't write you to tell you this because you don't know it. I'm telling you because you do know it. Isn't that really pretty? I'm not telling you these things because you don't know. I'm telling you because you already know them, but I'm going to tell you again. I'm warning you. Know that you know Him. I'm telling you and again because it is of the utmost importance that you are sure that you have that unction of the Holy One. People get the idea that it's wrong to teach things that people already know. I had an old fellow tell me one time, said, you don't need to preach that. We already know all that. I said, there's no reason for me not to teach it just because you know it. Let me give you something. If you want to flip back just a couple pages to 2 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, not only does John have something to say about this, Peter has something to say about it. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 12, look what he says. 2 Peter 1, 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Folks, we are prone to forget. It's amazing how these minds of ours work. I can bring back things I wish to goodness I could forget. My mind won't let go of some things. I wish I could take an eraser and wipe it out. But there's some other things that I've tried as hard as I may, I can't remember. We're prone to forgetting. John says, Peter says, "I don't mind teaching you something, even though you already know it. I'll tell you again." My mother told me one time, she said, "Son, do you realize that you repeat yourself a lot of times when you're preaching?" I said, "Yes, Mama, I know." And I said, "I do that. Because you know how you teach children? Repetition, repetition, repetition." And I'm not being hard, but you are God's children, are you not? Repetition, repetition. I don't say these things. I don't get up. If I get up here and preach some new doctrine, y'all get me out of the pulpit anyway. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm preaching the same old truths that's been preached in this pulpit for many, many years.
Amen.
You understand that? But just because it's been said doesn't mean it doesn't need to be said again. Part of it is there's a younger generation coming around need to be taught the things of the Word of God. And for those who are established in it or who already know it, they need to be reminded of it.
Amen.
Others in this world, you know, they get the idea that you're not supposed to teach this stuff to people. No, preach those old truths again and again. I tell you, if people get tired of hearing the truth about Jesus, I don't know what makes them think they'll be happy in heaven, you know?
Amen.
All right, let me get going here. I'm almost done. He says, "I've written unto you I'm not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it." And look what he says at the close of verse 21, "and that no lie is of the truth."
Amen.
I mentioned this the other day, and sometimes I think it's necessary that you just call ugly, ugly, and that you just call heresy, heresy.
Amen.
No lie is of the truth. I like what Brother Sam Wilson used to say. Brother Sam Wilson, he's a preacher. He's a fine, fine gentleman. Brother Sam Wilson used to say a half truth would get him a whole spanking. You understand that? A half truth would get him a whole spanking. You know what a half truth is? It's a whole lie. And that no lie is of the truth. This spirit of Antichrist that exists out there in the world today, no lie. The lies that they come with is not of God. God is not the author of confusion, and no lie is of the truth. I don't think you and I ought to be arrogant and have this idea we're right and the whole rest of the world is wrong. But there are some things that we have to take a firm stand on. Christ only is the means of salvation. These are some things, anybody says anything else, that's not true. No lie, no lie is of the truth. Whether it's a half lie, a half truth, it's still all wrong. And he identifies those, and I'm hurrying, verse 22, he identifies those who are Antichrist. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Whoever denies that Christ is the anointed of God, that word Christ is the Greek rendering of the Old Testament Hebrew word Messiah. He is the anointed one. Christ the anointed one. And listen to me, there are some that are branded under the title evangelical Christian that are not. There are some, and you listen to these news channels, they say, they group all of us together, the evangelicals together, and there's some that they put under that heading that are Antichrist. I know y'all work for a living and I just pastor, but let me preach a couple more minutes and then we'll be out of here, okay? There are faiths, denominations out there that deny that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
And they are Antichrist. Is that understood?
Amen.
I'm not being mean. I'm not being narrow. I'm not being hard. And I'm not even saying that some of the people within their organization, that some of them may not be saved. But I will say this. They cannot believe everything that their denomination teaches and be saved.
That's right.
The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness are branded as evangelicals. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, they have the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I'm not mean or hard. You've heard my preaching for a year and a half now. You know I don't name a whole lot of names. But I am going to say that there is a spirit of Antichrist. To deny the fastest growing religion in this world today is the religion of Islam, and it is Antichrist. They deny that, oh, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. And he was, and they'll say that he was the Son of God. No more than you and I are, though. They won't say he was God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist that is alive in our world today. Who denies, look what it says in verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son. The close of verse 22, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father. And you deny the relationship between the Father and the Son. You are Antichrist. You can be wrong about a lot of things, and I'm wrapping this up. You can be wrong about a lot of things and still go to heaven. You can be wrong about a lot of things, still go to heaven, but you can't be wrong about Jesus being the only way.
Amen.
And anybody that teaches anything other than that, they do so because of Antichrist pressure, involvement, or they just don't know any better. I don't know. But John, you know how John would be branded intolerant? You know how intolerant his message would be if he said, whosoever denieth the Son, verse 23, the same hath not the Father. Let's go ahead and clarify this. You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
You understand? You can't say, I'll take Jesus and not the Father, or I'll take the Father and not the Son. You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God inspired John to say these words. Some people get this idea, I'll take Jesus' real popular teachings, but I'm not going to bow to the Father. Oh, no. But the great thing is what it closes out in verse number 23, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
Amen.
And that word acknowledge right there, and I'm a pro KJV guy, but that word acknowledge, and at least in the way we use it today, doesn't do justice. He that confesseth, believes, is more than some head acknowledgement. He that confesses Christ has the Father also. There's hope. You can know that you know. But we have to be careful. There is a spirit of Antichrist in this world today. All right.